the jubilee year of my preaching ministry. When you start preaching at 15 and you can count, even though I don't look a day above 50. But seriously, looking at you today, Pastor, people you need to know. And I'm not saying it just because Pastor Gary is sitting here. In fact, his sitting here makes it more difficult for me to say what I want to say about him. But I'm going to say it anyway. You are blessed. You are more than blessed to have a pastor like Gary Z. Give God praise. Come on. There's never a conversation that he and I have that you will not mention as a church body. Thank you, sister, for bringing the message and song. And she sang and she took off. Where did she go? Okay, now we can talk about her, now that she's out. Green guitar, what's going to be next? Red, maybe? Okay. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Amen. Is that first light going to come on or should I click it? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Your sound guys are really good, let me tell you. Half a century, 5 decades, 50 years. All saying the same thing. When I started preaching the first sermon and still on my file, I was young and dumb. Today, 50 years later, I'm older and dumber. But I tell you what, this one thing I know. What you as a church body has done in the year of 2019 and continues to do going forward is shaking the whole country of Indonesia like you've never known before. You need to hear it. You need to hear it. What Grace EB Free Church does in 2019. Does because the year has not ended. I am trying to move the slide forward. And, okay. First question is this. Who opens doors for you? Has it ever occurred to you that no human person can open doors? Amen? It has to be at least 10 years. In the last 10 years, the words of Revelation 3 and verse 8 has meant more to me than at any other time. And the day that that verse means more to you than what it is today is the day that you understand what Jesus has spoken to you as he's speaking to you now from his word. Behold, I've set before you an open door. You know what? There you go. Behold, Jesus speaking, I've set before you an open door. You know what? I'm going to let you forward the slides. You do a whole lot better so I can concentrate. Thank you very much. The words have said in the English grammar, I know you're not going to school today, but you can learn something, okay? The words have said in the English grammar is in the perfect tense. And you can trace the perfect tense written in Genesis all the way through Revelation. And what it is this. When God says something, it is as good as done. That's why it's written in the perfect tense. As an example, and this is not in the slides. As an example, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3, God said to Joshua, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that I have given to you. Well, they haven't done the thing yet. The first battle of Jericho is not to be found until Joshua chapter 6. The war has not been waged. The victory has not been won. And yet God said to Joshua, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that I have given to you. In other words, when God says something, it is as good as done. There's not a human person, no demon, can close doors for you. Amen? It's very important to remember it. Because the day we remember it, we know that only Christ Jesus can open doors for you and for me. Behold, I've set before you an open door that no one can shut. Now then, to the next slide. So when Jesus says no one can open, he literally means no one can open. No one. Say it with me, no one. You know why we have to say no one? We have to remember to say it. Because sometimes the devil sneaks in and the devil tricks us into thinking that maybe if no one can open, maybe I can open. Or maybe someone else that I don't know about can open. When Jesus says no one, he means no one. Look at what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. A huge door of opportunity for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Rose and I thank God for you and for your prayers and for your financial support. Month in and month out. I want you to know that we literally cannot do God's work without you. Amen, people? And so he says, a huge door of opportunity has opened, for effective work is open to me, and there are many adversaries. So we were in April of this year, 2019, at a training session for the national leaders of Indonesia, and Wycliffe Associates from Orlando, Florida. And my assignment was to speak on Jesus' spiritual warfare and Bible translation. Now, little did I know, and this is why I told Pastor last night, you know, a lot of times you sort of sense, you think you know what God's doing, but most of the time you really don't know, you know? You have no clue. I mean, I have the slightest clue what God was trying to do, other than the fact that I was given an assignment to speak on Jesus, spiritual warfare, and Bible translation. So all through that week, I was speaking to it. I was speaking to the lives of the people as God has spoken to me. The best kind of messages are the kinds that God has spoken to you already and is dealt with you in your heart. I mean, just bathe you in, immerse you in the Word, and now you slowly unpack it for God's people. Now then, at the end of the session, the five-day session, I sat down with one of our national leaders, an Indonesian brother who speaks some English, and he sits down and says, you know, the thought just dawned on me that I should invite you to come into Malaysia. He's Indonesian, but he wants me to go to Malaysia with him in November, which is just last month. This is December, so November. Now then, he says to me, he says, you know, the reason why I want you to go there is simply because I lead this conference the last 15 years of mission leaders from Asia, Southeast Asia, parts of Asia. And then this year, unbeknownst to me, we had mission leaders from four other African nations coming. So the 20 representative mission leaders from 20 different nations coming to Malaysia. I say, where in Malaysia? He says, well, that's Genting Highlands. You know where Genting Highlands was? Genting Highlands is the place that Rose and I celebrated our honeymoon 42 years ago. Now, doesn't God have a wonderful way to really give you a pleasant surprise? On top of that, you've got spiritual warfare to deal with. So you've got celebration and spiritual warfare. And sometimes those things are not in conflict. See? So then, Pastor, I went there, and You can believe this. I mean, I said, now, what language am I supposed to speak it so that I get translated? And say, no, you just speak in English. Just slow down the speed, and they will catch on. Well, I made sure I had PowerPoint slides so that they can follow. Now then, I thought God did a home run on that one. And he just maybe is done pulling any more home runs for the year of 2019. Little did I know, on that trip, I was told, you know what? This Bible translation going on the next couple of weeks, we are going to go into a prison. I said, what in the world are we doing in a prison for? Well, we're going to visit prisoners, but these prisoners were from an unreached people group. They have just come to know Jesus, and more than that, they want to be a part of the Bible translation movement. Give God praise for that. My goodness sakes. So they committed crimes, and they're going to be there for 5 to 7 years, and while they're there, they heard about this Bible translation movement, and they said, you know what, we know, because we're from that unreached people group, and we'd like to have a part in translating God's word. To which we said, God, you just did it again. So that was a captive audience in translating God's word. And for the 3 whole months, by the end of 2019, and by the way, when I'm done here, I head out and go out to take a flight out to Indonesia and to make sure that we finish it off strong. It takes 3 whole months for this unreached people group in prison, these prisoners, to translate the entire New Testament. People of God, if that does not jazz you up, I don't know what to do with you. It shouldn't jazz me up just talking about it. Just when you think it's done, listen very carefully now. Between Easter of 2018 and Easter of 2019, in 1 year, 40 brand new testaments were completed for 40 unreached people groups. And you were responsible for it for your gifts from last year. Give God praise for it with a little more enthusiasm. Come on now. So when I call pastor's office and pastor was tied up, so Colette talked to me and Colette says, we just received $8,000. I said, that's 8 unreached people groups New Testaments. 8 New Testaments for 8 unreached people groups. And you, Grace Evangelical Free Church of Kelseyville, were responsible for that. Now, and by the way, you were number one. You know what the problem is with number one? You've got to stay number one. Amen? Now, from Easter of 2019 to Easter of 2020, we just up the ante. So it's not only 40 unreached people groups, New Testaments were completed, but from Easter of 2019 to Easter of 2020, which we're in it now, the goal is to get to 100. Now, I keep saying we may not get there. It's a God-sized goal, and only God can pull it off. And if he has pulled off so those miracles that I just mentioned, he can certainly do it. Amen, people? Amen. So I just want you to know, a lot is riding. A lot. Your Christmas gifts riding on people in Indonesia waiting on God's word to see God's word for the very first time. And if you were there and they were here, I'd say exactly the same thing. But you made a difference for them in December 2018. And by God's grace, I just cannot wait for December 31st to come by. Because you know why? I know that it's going to be more than $8,000. It has to be. You know why? We're now not looking for 40 brand new testaments to be finished, but we're looking for 100. People of God, I know that the God who tells us in Revelation 3 and verse 8, behold, I've set before you an open door that no one can shut, is still the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you have the resources because God has given to you. And I thank you so very much, Pastor. Your leadership made a difference. Pastor, I brought along an example of a New Testament, the Gospel of Mark, from a people group called Ogan, O-G-A-N, and I want to present it to you, and I'll present it to you again in the second service. Would you please come? Help me. Thank you. Thank you so much, people.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. You got to calm down a little bit, though. No, kidding. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, as we go to your word, we are awestruck by your love for the lost. And we would help us, Lord, then as we go to your word, that we would be strengthened and it would remind us of your power and your grace. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Last week we talked about the message through Micah. He's one of the prophets, and now it's going to be the message through the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Herod the king heard of it. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the priests and the scribes of the people, began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'You and you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.' And Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearing. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make careful search for the child. When you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him.' And having heard the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until they came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him and opened their treasures. They presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way." I want to talk today about the love that God has for the lost and the incredible stories throughout Scripture of people who were outside and found themselves in the inside because of God's mercy and grace. Now here is the story of the Magi, who we don't know. I mean, they were not kings. They were wise men, astrologers. It was the kind of people that if you were the king or an emperor, you would have around you. They were just wise, and they knew a lot of stuff. And one of the things they would do is figure out by the stars, well, look at this, and here's how to plant our crops, and here's when to go to war. And all of a sudden, this star shows up that doesn't belong there. And I've done a lot of research on this, whether some say, and you write a book about it was a comet, or some say that it was a supernova, or it was Jupiter and Saturn that had come together. And I've had people actually hand me, I've read, hey, you got to watch this tape because on this tape is, you know, you'll find, you know, it's, you know, astounding. And if you hand me a tape or something, I'll be very polite. But I got plenty of tapes to watch. And I don't really need to watch another one on stars and comets and what they found underneath someplace. Interesting enough, Pastor John Piper calls that a mentality for the marginal. I mean, I'm not really that excited about comets and Jupiter and Saturn and stuff. And if that happened, then so be it. But here's what I know. This is like a star that I've never heard of before. It shows up, and they can see it in the east, and they follow it, and I think they got as far as Jerusalem, and they went away. So they go and try to figure out, well, what's going on now, and then it shows up again and leads them and hovers over the place where Jesus was. This is after Jesus' birth, and it says they go to a house, so there's no longer a manger. They're in Bethlehem still, and they're kind of hanging out. So whatever it is, this is no star that is normal. And we can think, well, is it the Shekinah glory of God? Is it some specific, is it an angel? Or is it God just say, okay, I'm going to put a point of light, and it's just going to baffle these people whose life is surrounding, they think everything surrounds these lights. But interesting enough, they would have not known the go if they already didn't have some knowledge. And I think it came because the scriptures of God, probably Isaiah the prophet and the prophets, that they, as wise men, probably had some of the scrolls of the Old Testament. And they go, man, there's going to be a king born. And putting that with God getting their attention, they would follow the star. I just got to tell you, this is God stuff. When we had dinner last night, and Patrick explained that here's these criminals, they get thrown into an Indonesian prison. They're from an unreached people group who come to Christ, and they got a lot of time on their hands, and they decide, you know, we're going to help translate the Bible into our own tongue. Only God can do that. So the Bible is filled with things that we can try to explain away. How manna came from heaven, how the Dead Sea was, the winds came up, and how Jesus walked on water, and how the 5,000. But here's, I've got to say, if we take the fact that God can and will do anything to reach the lost, then we're missing the point. His reason for the star is to get pagan people to the Savior. I was driving up on the North Shore. Not that there's more pagans on the North Shore than here. You know what I'm saying. I'm just here to tell you. And my daughter was saying, Dad, how come we're driving along, not just the North Shore, but how come it looks like everything's ready to fall apart? I said, I don't know. But here's what I do know. People in Lake County need Jesus. And God's more concerned about it than we are. At the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, we have this concept of Jesus showing up and the disciples saying, come and see Jesus. Come and see Jesus. But by the end of the gospel, we have a different formula. It is go and tell about Jesus. And so my own thought is this, as a church, we ought to be a place where people can come and see Jesus in our lives. But ultimately, God's way of doing this is to go and tell. And we go and tell because we have a passion and our heart breaks for those who do not know the Lord. One of my heroes of the faith, Hudson Taylor, with China Inland Mission. He was traveling on a Chinese junk up a river. And as he was driving on this, a wave came, and one of the people fell overboard, and they yelled, "He cannot swim." And behind them, there was a fishing boat, and he says to the people, "Hey, save this guy, because he can't swim." And the people on the fishing boat says, "Well, how much money will you give us to help this man?" Hudson Taylor was going dumbfounded. "Man, what are you talking about?" He goes, "Well, what do you want?" "Well," so he's negotiating the saving of this man's life. He finally jumps in. And they drag the man out. It was too late. He died. Now, what's the story of that? The story is, don't expect people in the world to really care about those who are lost. We care because Jesus loves us. He died for us. And so that's the motivation. And so when we look at this, we see God going to massive, it wasn't very hard for God to say, "Okay, I'm going to have a special star." Boom. But ultimately, I think that they had the scrolls of Isaiah the prophet there. They probably... And they're putting that together. It wasn't knowledge enough to save them. You know how they get saved? Is they come to Jesus. And they come because the creator of the universe draws them. We can never forget that the Savior of the world is still drawing men and women and boys and girls today. And for whatever reason, he wants us to participate in that. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, he's talking to Timothy about what it means to be, he's kind of, it's a discipleship book of helping him to take seriously, here's what it means to be a pastor or a Christian leader. So here it says this in chapter 2. "First of all, then, I urge you that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men." So he's saying, I want you to pray for everybody. "For kings and all those who are in authority, in order that they may lead tranquil and quiet lives in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." So what is good and acceptable? God wants us to be praying for everyone. Right? Why? Verse 4, "who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." God desires that all men be saved. Then he goes on in verse 5, "for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time." And then Paul goes, "for this reason I've been appointed a preacher." Friends, it's our concern of first praying for all people. Why? Because it's the desire of the Lord that all people be saved. And that's why Jesus came at the appointed time. He's the one who can mend the broken relationship between man and God. So today we talk about the issue of those who are seeking. And interesting enough is that these people stuck in, whether they were in Persia or Midian or Yemen, wherever, there's all kinds of different theories where these people came from. Here's what it says, that these people, they saw something and they came and they were seeking. And the Lord continues to call people to himself. Isn't that great news? I get bewildered by how messed up the world is, right? And I'm reminded of that, you know, every time I turn on the news or look at the local paper. Friends, the only solution is to find life, forgiveness, and hope in Jesus Christ. The Lord is calling people to Himself, and He is ready for them. Matthew 7, verse 8, "For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened." Proverbs 8, verse 4, 17, "I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me." In the Old Testament, He even had them set up cities of refuge, you know, little signs saying, "Hey, 4 miles of the city of refuge." Why? Because if people needed a place of safety, they could flee. And we find out later that Jesus Christ Himself is a picture of those cities of refuge. And we need to be the signpost saying, "Hey, come to Jesus." They need to be able to see that in each one of our individual lives. And that's why I just beg you, as the Apostle Paul begged the church in Ephesus, to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, with all humility and gentleness and forbearance and patience towards one another, doing all you can do to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Friends, we're the signpost pointing people to hope, pointing Lake County to hope, pointing our own families to hope. When I was in high school, I was part of an exclusive club I've shared before called the FAMC Club. None of you could be in it because it was very exclusive. Myself and John and Mike and Mike, and we would play tennis at Deerwood Country Club at midnight, Friday after midnight club. We'd play pool at John's house and have Shirley Temples. Seriously. And when I came to Christ, when Mike and I came to Christ, we wanted to share with Mike and John the good news of Christ. And both of those guys would be class valedictorians and go on to smart guys, you know. And I've tried to share, and maybe I was too aggressive in my sharing at times. And I went to them afterwards and said, "Hey, listen, please forgive me. I just want you to know Jesus." Well, 2 years ago, John, he found out that he had cancer, and literally in 6 weeks he was gone. He was the vice president at Kendall Jackson. But Mike, one of the Mikes, Sue and I were living in Minnesota at the time when we flew back, and my mom, who is still alive, says, "Hey, Mike came by really wanting to talk to you." And we just missed each other by a day. And he would die a week later of AIDS. First of all, I'm sure glad I took the opportunity to share with my friend Mike. But this, friends, this is the real thing. People need the Lord. That's what Christmas is all about. That we have hope because of Jesus. And I love the story of the Magi because they come and the people who should have said, "Hey, man, he's in Bethlehem. Let's all go and have a party and worship." They didn't do it. They said, "Well, he's over that way." I never want to be that person, nor do you. Where's that Jesus? Oh, he's over that way. No, let's take people. They ought to be able to see Jesus in our life. There are seekers, and then I want to briefly mention, there are those who are dreading his coming, and Herod was one of those. Because if he would admit that Jesus was king, then he can no longer be king of his life. That would have been the greatest gift of all, because he was in a person filled with pride and delusion. And I'm here to tell you, I'm just going to say it straight up. If you think that you can be the king or queen of your life, you're deluding yourself. You were not created for that purpose. You were created to have a relationship with God. And Jesus Christ would come. He would be a ransom for many. Jesus Christ would come to save those who are lost. And if you've been found by him, then this Christmas time, I want you to make sure you're getting some time alone and you're thanking God for the greatest gift of all. Salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, why do we realize, hey, we're going to raise resources to help train pastors in Nepal, and we're going to help raise money to help get the Bible into the hands of the unreached in Indonesia? Because that's why we're still here. Now, God could just do it like that, right? He could just have dump money. He could send angels with all these translations like this, cut out the middleman. But he has called the church to be the middleman. We are to tell people of the good news of Christ. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, then it's my prayer that today, this Christmas, may be the beginning of that walk with him. How do you do that? You surrender. You receive him as your Lord and your Savior. One, A, you admit you're a sinner. B, you put your belief on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him as Lord. You do that through prayer. Some churches you'll come forward, other churches you'll meet in a, we can do all that too. But here's what I need to tell you. Right now, you can surrender your life through prayer and be saved. That's what it is. It's a surrender. We look at the lives of these three kings, and I thought it would be apropos for us to end with singing about these. They weren't kings, they were magi, but I like the song anyway, all right? We three magi of Orient are, we'll just call them kings, all right? So let's stand. We're going to sing together, We Three Kings. If the Lord has spoken to you, I just pray that you would allow Christ to come into your life. All right. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts that traverse so far, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. This Christmas time, let's bring people to Jesus. Let's do that by our countenance of our face, our kindnesses. Let's reach out to our neighbors and just get to know them. But as we do that, we're putting them in proximity to the King of Kings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, take us now. Use our lives for your glory. We thank you, Lord, that you came to seek and save the lost. And Lord, as the Magi came and their lives were changed, and they would go back to their countries probably feeling a little uncomfortable because they had been with the Savior of the world. We pray, Lord, for us, it may be a little uncomfortable, go back to our jobs or school or wherever it may be, as we're around people who are yet to know the truth. So, Lord, help us, grant us courage and wisdom and discernment as we serve you well. Father, we ask that you would use the ministry of Journey to Bethlehem as we invite our friends that they may, maybe for the first time, hear the story well. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you and have a great day.
Mm-hmm.